This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
What the hell's going on out here?
Luke's scared because his eyelids are jammed and his old man's here. We need a live rooster to take the curse off Jose's glove, and nobody seems to know what to get Millie or Jimmy for their wedding present. Is that about right?
That's right.
We're dealing with a lot of shit.
Anyone ever tell you look like a penis with a little hat on?
You're out of here!
Oh, no,
right
no, no,
now,
no,
Jimmy, I heard
you misunderstood
that!
Misunderstood.
Why? What do you mean, why? We're in the championship, aren't we? Well, that's what you wanted, wasn't it? Well, just behave yourselves and act like men.
I'm not much for giving inspirational addresses. The local press seems to think we'd save everyone a lot of time and trouble if we just went out and shot ourselves.
You play ball like a girl!
I think you're a loser.
I'm a bum!
Hello, fellow Bleacher Bums, and welcome to this week's edition of the Bleacher Bums. I'm your host, Jim Cromer, with Tony Hubert at the final, well, Sweet 16, I guess he went to see his beloved UCLA take on Kentucky. So I've invited an old comrade back that I know a lot of you guys are missing since his duties have increased with a couple other shows that he's doing. But I want to welcome back my main man, Jono. What's going on, pal?
Hey, how you doing, pal? How you doing? Good to be back.
Thanks for stepping in for Tony today. I know you miss doing the show, but, you know, we all have to pick and choose what we're going to do, and you're first and foremost a Cowboys guy, and with the success of your Cowboys podcast, it's kind of taken you away from me, but that's fine. We're still best buds and sit next to one another every day and get to talk sports. And
you got it.
I appreciate you doing this for me. And, you know, what's great about it is I knew right away what we were going to need to talk about today, and when I asked you about it, I think you and I were both informed enough on these topics to come in and bring them up and start a discussion that I think needs to be had all the way around the, you know, from beginning to end, and that is of the World Baseball Classic. Because I got to tell you, I wasn't a believer until I really got hooked on it this year, and now I'm sold. I think it's a great idea, and while I appreciate and understand that they have to try to protect these players in this scenario, because it is, what's the word I'm looking for here? The games are very meaningful at a much earlier time than they're used to. As long as they take those precautions to protect these guys, I love it, and I think it's great.
I agree. I think that, you know, I was watching it. I started getting into it. You know, it's hard to understand how some of these players are from Netherlands. And
well, yeah, that's some rule stuff. Yeah.
And I got to tell you, I was watching Puerto Rico play, and I just didn't understand how America – I'm gonna get really deep here. I just didn't.
Well, save
understand
it. Save
how...
the deepness. Save the deep. Let me remind everybody. Make sure you go to bleacherbumspodcast.com. That's where you can find the podcast that we released today. Obviously, you can also catch up on some back episodes. We've had some really good ones lately that we've had a lot of feedback on. You know, I'll admit it. I went right after Ryan Braun last week. I think he's a piece of shit. I don't like him. I think he should feel so fortunate, number one, not to be in jail. And for him to be complaining about spring training and an extra couple of weeks of spring training, in my opinion, really shows what a piece of shit this guy is. And I'm sorry, but he is.
Wow.
He tried to ruin a man's life for his own personal gain, and he did. He can say whatever he wants. That's exactly what he did. There is no denying it.
You're not going to let it go, are you?
That's exactly what he did, okay? And you know what? And I even said he may have made restitution behind the scenes. I don't give a shit. When the chips are down, how you handle yourself shows who you are as a real person. This guy's a piece of shit. So anyway, but the joy of the World Baseball Classic has taken me past that, as you can obviously tell, and I knew I wanted to talk about it. But yes, you can catch up on some back stuff. It's also the easiest way to subscribe to the show. It's free. You just go to the website, bleacherbumspodcast.com. You'll see subscribe to the podcast. Click on it, walk you through it. Piece of cake. It's free. You'll get a notification when we release the show. Of course, we appreciate everybody that's following us on social media. That's the main way that our show's growing. You guys are doing it, you know, and helping by sharing and retweeting and doing all that good stuff. You can find us on Twitter at Bums Podcast, and we do encourage you to follow us. If you're a baseball fan, I promise you we're going to follow you back. If we miss you on the follow back, just send us something saying, hey, guys, I'm a baseball guy. I followed you. We'll be happy to follow you back. Because when you say something, we want to know. You know, like if there's something going on out there that the public is entertained by, concerned with, finds fault with, we want to talk about it on the show. So make sure you follow us at Bums Podcast. And, of course, on Facebook, Bleacher Bums Podcast. Type it in the search bar. Boom, you'll find us. Happy for you to be a part of that as well. And, again, special thanks to everybody at lineupmedia.fm. They're so good to us. Guys, you are changing how you listen and how you spend time listening to what it is you want to listen to. You want to listen to what you want to listen to, when you want to listen to it, and how you want to listen to it. That's why radio's changing, my friends. You've got to check out podcasts. If you like our podcasts, there's so many more at lineupmedia.fm. I mentioned to you, my comrade here does one of the top Cowboys, Dallas Cowboy podcasts in the country. It's called the Cowboys Podcast. It's with Jono and some good friends of his. They've taken podcasting to another level. They actually broadcast live during Cowboy games, them watching it and their comments, and they let other people get involved. It's a genius idea. It was so exciting to watch, and I know they did really well for themselves with it. Baseball-wise, obviously I do a Cardinal show because I'm a Cardinal fan first, baseball fan right close second. And there's just all kinds, hockey shows. Then there's all kinds of different stuff, too, depending on what your entertainment value is. Lineup Media knows that your time is valuable. They take it very seriously. Check them out. I guarantee you there's more podcasts that you would enjoy. Okay, let's get to it, my friend. You were really looking to get passionate and deep there about the Puerto Rico squad, and I wanted you to save it because I know where this is going, and it's going to take me right where the conversation needs to go. So go ahead.
I don't know if my thinking on this is, you know, we're playing Puerto Rico, USA, and I got like 40,000 – I don't know if these idiots even knew that Puerto Rico was part of the United States.
Well.
Okay, that's one right there. Number two, I was probably one of the few people in America that was cheering on Puerto Rico. Yeah. I wanted Puerto Rico to win, and I loved, you know, I got to tell you, man, I loved Yadier Molina, how excited he was. He was playing like a kid, and yeah, and I, you know, I'm a Reds fan,
sure.
But I got to tell you, man, I was cheering on Molina and that squad. It just seemed like they're gonna take down the big guys, and that's what this country's all about. I mean, realistically speaking, we've always cheered on the underdogs in the NCAA brackets, whatever it is. We've always tried to, you know, cheer on the little guys, and you know what? Why not here too? I was a part of Puerto Rico, and you know what? With Adam Jones went out and said all this stuff, and Yadier's got a point. I mean, well, I want him to apologize. Well, what the hell?
Well, you know, a little. See, I think some of it is.
If you want to explain to the people?
If you don't have some backstory on this, okay, here's the deal. Let me start from the beginning, okay, because I don't want this to sound like, well, all you're doing is complaining. Number one, I've always been like, at first, when it comes to this, when you see your players leave your team to go play in the World Baseball Classic, and you realize how important those players are to your team, the first thing you think is, man, if a Yadier Molina goes and gets hurt in the World Baseball Classic, if a Carlos Martinez goes and gets hurt in the World Baseball Classic, we're in big if an O goes and gets hurt, we're in big trouble here. So that makes you nervous, right?
Right.
But then reality sets in, and you think they could get hurt in a spring training game. What's really at the end of the day, right? So then you start watching the games. Let me tell you something. I've said it on numerous occasions. If I had the opportunity to represent my country in ping pong, I would be happy to do so. To wear a shirt in a meaningful event that says USA across the front or United States or whatever, I would be over the moon on it, right? So I want all these countries to feel like some of these Latin people feel, the Japanese. I'm sorry, I do. Am I criticizing the United States guys? No. Maybe it's just a different culture. Maybe we do take some things for granted. But what I'm going to tell you is I came to like the United States team. I felt like they had a different way of going about it, and maybe they were over-respectful of the game and didn't let some of the joy, but they did let some. It was better than an MLB game when it came to the joy and exuberance that they were showing, but they were very respectful. That may be just, who knows why that is, right? But my point is, I came to really appreciate it. And I came to appreciate some guys on the United States team that maybe I didn't have a fondness for. I've become an Eric Hosmer fan, okay? No doubt about it. I've become a Christian Yelich fan, okay? A Brandon Crawford fan. Now, fast forward.
Yeah.
Okay, Team Puerto Rico has put on an absolute, what's the word here? They have made this thing so exciting and fun. If you've been following the World Baseball Classic, you can't help but follow the Team Puerto Rico. And what, and not, listen, he would never say this, but single-handedly what Yadier Molina was doing. He was doing it.
Man.
He was doing it all. And some of the things he
all
was
respect,
doing was
yeah.
amazing. Some of the things he did. And if you saw him, they were like, oh, my God, I can't believe what I just saw type stuff. Well, they get to the championship game against the United States. Now, I'm going to say something before I even comment on this because I want it on record because it has nothing to do with it. I'm an American. I wanted USA to win. I would have been happy for Yachty. I would have been obviously everybody knows I do the show with Yachty's brother for the Cardinals, so I'm obviously a Molina fan, right? Okay, I'd have been happy for them. Here's the deal, folks. I don't care who won that game. There is no way you're ever going to convince me that that shouldn't be a best out of three. I don't care who won.
You're right.
Because baseball's not about one game. Baseball can be dominated at any time by a pitcher that's hot. You want to find out who the better team is, you got to have a series. You got to have a series. Now, people can say, well, Jim, that's a pipe dream. They're trying to get back to – I get it, but they could have played three nights in a row. It's no big deal. They could have done it. And here's the deal. People say, well, do they have enough pitching? Well, that's when you find out who's good, right? Check your depth. So anyway, fast forward. They win. Very emotional Puerto Rico team. You could see him on the sideline, Yachty, you know, tears in their eyes, upset. The American team very happy, very respectful. I loved the handshake when they all got together. Fast forward to Adam Jones. You know, I find this odd. So we were so respectful and subdued, right? But yet, the minute the thing's over, we're going to go all big time and they disrespected. They were planning a parade and they were going back and they ordered shirts and, man, we use that as motivation. Okay, well, so we were so respectful before, but now we're going to go talk about something that we – and again, I don't even know if this is Adam Jones' fault, but he doesn't know what he's talking about. Now, I had a little clarification on the Cardinal show yesterday from Benji, and I didn't know this. John, you're really more in tune with world events. Puerto Rico's going through a rough time right now.
Yeah.
Tons of crime, people getting killed every day, assassinations. People aren't aware of this, but in the last since that country's been captivated by this World Baseball Classic, there's been no crime, there's been no assassinations. The country has pulled together as one. They were going back there win or lose because they knew what this meant to their people. Now, did they want a championship for their country? Absolutely they did. Yeah. Did they play with passion? Absolutely they did. But for Adam Jones to act like these guys disrespected them because they were planning a parade back, guess what, Adam? They went back and had their parade with their silver medals because it was about the country.
Yes.
That's and Yachty, totally. And I'm sorry, folks, and I, you know, you can put your American flag around you and tell me I'm being a – Yachty is 100% right here, and Adam Jones absolutely owes them an apology. Now, I will say this. They also need to understand that Adam Jones is doing what every ball player has done, and that is we found some motivation. That's what athletes do. They find some motivation if they feel like they've been disrespected. The problem is this is what happens when you speak without knowing fully what's going on.
I think that game meant more to Puerto Rico than the United States. I think maybe by the end of this year we've forgotten about this, not to Puerto Rico. I think they would – embrace it, galvanize around it. They would. This is a country that is based on baseball, and for them to be, we're part of United States. I think they'd like their identity as we're Puerto Rico,
right?
And I think it meant a lot more to Puerto Rico.
I'm not going to disrespect the American players because I guarantee you.
No, but you know like, what? Adam Jones, though, let me say this. Adam Jones robs.
Unbelievable.
I think, Machado.
Unbelievable. And
Machado.
Hit tip. It
takes
was unbelievable.
Takes his hat off, and you still see Adam Jones just talking crap out there. And you know what? In baseball, you kind of give it back to him like, hey, you know, thank you. And
I watched it a couple times because I thought it was one of the coolest things I've ever seen. Now, obviously, they're teammates and they're friends. I watched it, and, you know, he was in emotion. A thousand people may call me tomorrow and say, you don't know Adam Jones. He's a great guy. And that's fine. That's not my point. My point is, Adam Jones probably is a great guy, but this is an example of how we as people open our mouths sometimes and we don't know what we're saying. We think we know everything, but we don't. We have to think sometimes before we speak. But listen, this is not an Adam Jones thing. People do this all the time. Well, you know, they were over there acting like it was over. We used it as motivation. It happens all the time, right? Right? They were looking past us. They didn't think. So I get that part of it, but the after comments and this and that, I would be surprised if Adam Jones knew what was going on in Puerto Rico, which he probably doesn't, right? I have a hard time believing he would have said that. Now, that being said, I would not disrespect the American players either, because I'm going to tell you, I love to watch things going on inside a game of baseball. Pat Neshek, all these guys, Luke Gregerson, Jonathan LaCroix, Brandon Crawford, Ian Kinsler, these guys, the looks on their faces and the exuberance, just because they weren't like all standing out at home plate and jumping up and down acting like whatever, that doesn't mean that it didn't mean something.
All right,
to
I got to ask you this then. Stroman.
Okay.
Pitching a no-hitter.
Wow.
Now, are you really enjoying this as Leland? I mean, you got
you see, once he gave up the hit to lead off the seventh, they took him out of there right away.
Right, and were you at the point to where Leland's like, I hope they get a hit?
Well,
I hope they get a hit.
I asked the question yesterday, what were they prepared to do here? I guarantee you he couldn't have thrown nine innings. So I didn't understand the whole wait until he gave up a hit. I would have been fine with, look, man, you've thrown your – just you're done. What an unbelievable performance. Six no-hit innings. I didn't understand it, but it's fine. It's not like a typical thing. Unless I'm wrong, and if you're out there and you know something that I don't, maybe I missed something, a pitch count, an inning thing, I don't know. But unless I missed something here, I don't think there was any way possible he could have – I don't think there was any way possible he could have thrown nine innings. I don't think it was. I don't think it was within.
I don't think they said anything against it.
Well, you can only throw so much.
As in what?
There's rules like pitch counts and innings, and then all the teams. Okay, I don't. If you followed this at all, these World Baseball Classic teams were very respectful of these guys and their contracts with their pro teams. They were all in communication. Like for instance, when the Netherlands lost to Puerto Rico, Kenley Jansen had been given one inning by the Dodgers, okay? Well, if anybody watches, he went out and threw like eight pitches or nine pitches. Hmm. They were calling the Dodgers to say, can he go one more inning? And they didn't get a return call or whatever, but it was that type of thing is what I'm talking about. So very respectful. I think it has to be that way because, let's face it, folks, we're talking about a lot of money invested in players, teams counting on them when it comes to contract. But the thing is, it's just different. It means something different when you wear a jersey with your country. I've brought it up on this show before. I've said, and I mean this, and I'm sorry. Where was Clayton Kershaw? Where was Max Scherzer? Now I understand Scherzer had intended to want to pitch, but he had the finger injury, which is fine. Where's Justin Verlander? Now he's older, and he may say, I owe it to my, whatever. But my point is, where's Bryce Harper? Where's Mike Trout? To my knowledge, neither of them working through an injury, neither of them needing to work on anything in spring training.
I think they had a cast of all-stars, though. I don't think
that's not my point. But my point is the best Latin players in the world are dying to play for their country. Where's Chris Bryant, right? Where are they?
I mean, we just don't know that.
Well, I think we do know some of it. A lot of these guys, you can point to their agent. Look, a lot of these guys are Scott Boras guys. He's just not allowing it.
You're awful. Part of that conspiracy
awful.
Theory.
Yeah. Awful. Well, no, there is no conspiracy. I think it's pretty widely known. He doesn't want his guys playing in it.
Right, right.
Some of the Latin guys that have said, listen, you work for me. I'm going to play.
Did you hear about this? I don't know if you have or not, and I'm not really familiar with it, but MLB rookies won't dress like women this year. Here's what players think about the new rule. And they're saying that that's a tradition.
Yeah.
It's been a tradition, and this is the first year that
somebody somewhere got their butt hurt over it, you know, degrading women or objectifying women, whatever. I'm sure that's what it is. This is what society we live in. I can't even handle it.
It's part of tradition, though.
Yeah.
I just don't understand.
Yeah, folks, I'm not going to turn this into a political or an ethical show, but we got to get over ourselves.
But it's part of baseball.
We got to get over ourselves. We really do. Yeah. We got to get over ourselves. Everything's not about you. I'm sorry. It's just not.
Yeah. This is history. This is tradition. And
it's just not. You know what? Here's how I live by the theory of I'm not that important. You know, if somebody makes fun of something that's similar to me, I'm not that important. I don't know. We got to get over ourselves. We really do. And that's for all of us, me included, everybody. So, yes, if you think I'm talking to you, I probably am. We got to get over ourselves. This is ridiculous. I can't handle it, but whatever.
I love how these also switching topics. I got that from you. How are these pitchers now getting some bat on the ball now?
Well,
Jesus Christ! Jake Arrieta hit a 465-foot bomb. I mean, you're not seeing that from regular players.
I had the opportunity a year ago. I attended. I do some other shows, and I do a youth baseball show about kids and baseball and the things that are going on. I attended the convention, which is humongous for that. Okay, at this convention, John Smoltz was honored. He was honored with an award from the Amateur Baseball Association, for a lot of things, but, you know, he's very involved, right? So I attended a luncheon because the people that had paid for him to come are a sponsor of that show. Mm-hmm. So I was able to, it was a really cool event, right? Like David Price spoke, John Smoltz spoke. It was unbelievable. John Smoltz says in his thing that, he was a great speaker. And if you ever listen to him on MLB or ESPN, he's awesome.
He's
awesome.
He's in tune.
He tells a great story. He says that when talking about kids and playing different positions and being athletes and doing all this, he says that he would routinely remind Chipper Jones, you need to remember that I could do what you did. What you do right now, I could do very well. You couldn't do what I can do. That's why I pitch. And what he was saying was, don't forget that I was a great athlete too, and I played shortstop, and I hit third on my team. But I could really pitch, and you got to have pitchers, okay?
But nowadays,
it's kind of his joking way of saying anybody can do what you do, but you can't do what I can do. My point is, and this is where I'm going with this, I think we forget sometimes as baseball fans that guys that pitch just a few years ago were probably the best player on their team, probably played shortstop, probably played center field.
Do they look so bad at the plate, though?
Well, doesn't that tell you how overwhelming it is to get in there and face – a ball moving sometimes in excess of 100 miles an hour, how hard it is.
Right.
So what do these guys that play a position do? They do it every day. And they look bad sometimes. So what's that tell you, right? It's something you have to do every day. Pitchers don't work on it every day, right? There's a lot of reasons for it. I've had people say, well, I don't understand. Why don't they? Well, number one, there's a real possibility of you hurting yourself swinging a bat every day because of the strain you put on your body from pitching. That's number one. They don't want you doing it. And people say, well, that's a very small risk. Well, it is a small risk. But if it's Madison Bumgarner or Clayton Kershaw or Jake Arrieta or whoever, do you really want to take that risk? You're already trying to minimize your risk, right?
You got it, yeah.
Yeah. So, that's what we have to remember. Like, I saw everybody freaking out because they put Matt Adams in left field in the spring training game. People are like, oh, my God, how can you do that? And I have to remind people, are you telling me that Matt Adams has never played outfield in his life? Are you telling me that a few years ago he wasn't the best athlete on his team in college or I don't even think he went to college? In high school, I guarantee you he probably could have played center field in high school. People don't understand how good of athletes these guys are. They aren't robots and mechanical people. These guys are athletes. If you have a young kid playing baseball, let them be an athlete first. Don't turn them into a robot.
Well, it's definitely going to be interesting. The start of season, you got people swinging a hot bat. You're an ex-Cardinal player that went to the Yanks.
Matt Holliday, yeah. He's doing well.
He's looking like he's all rejuvenated, ready to go. And
well, he's thinking about just swinging that bat and sitting on that bench, isn't he?
Yeah.
that'll do for people.
You know what, though?
He was great for our town. St. Louis will never have anything bad to say about Matt Holliday.
Another 2-3 years added to his life.
Sure. Sure, and I get it, and it's part of the game, and it's part of the painful process of having players and losing them. It's what I've said, going back to the World Baseball Classic, I've said on the show, and I've tweeted, if the players could play with that type of joy and exuberance, we wouldn't need to shorten the games. The game would be so exciting that young people would be interested in it. Now, the cons on that are this. People say that they can't. It's 162 games. It's hard to feel that emotion for a whole season. And what I really think the issue is, you have to have the players would feed off the emotion of the fans. I believe that. The problem is we've lost that fan that's emotional about the team and the players because what happens anymore? You very rarely have these guys for more than 4 or 5 years.
Right.
Very rarely.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's not that attachment. In a day and age where I have to explain to my son why Albert Pujols wasn't a Cardinal anymore,
yeah,
something that made so much sense, but yet he's gone.
Well, I've how always are said fan, that all along.
Well, how are fans supposed to get emotional?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So, it's all about the money now.
Well, it's interesting. I felt like watching these guys and how excited they were.
Hey, you know, last
made me
year,
feel that way.
I got to ask you this, too, about this World Baseball Classic. How did you rate the umpires in this whole thing?
Awful.
Yeah, you thought it was awful. I thought they did a good job.
Awful.
So you're still consistent.
Yeah, they're awful.
MLB, awful. Not World Baseball. I thought they weren't bad, but
awful.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, I saw a strike zone that was awful.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought it was.
And I saw missed calls on the bases. Awful. Listen, you used to say it on this show sometimes that with replay now, sometimes they just go through the motions. Now, this awful is a subjective word. Okay? I still maintain that even though I say they're awful, they're right a lot more than we give them credit for. When you see two replays in a game,
right?
There wasn't two replays. There was about 30. Just watch a baseball game. The manager comes up to the top step about 10 times a game. Because every play at first, every stolen base, every tag out, everything, somebody's in a video room making sure they tagged them. And listen, I'm sorry, that's not what this was intended to do. It's like hockey, the offsides thing. That's not what it was intended to do. The sliver of a skate being on or off, that's not what it was intended to do. This is stupid. You're ruining the instinct of the game, the emotional impact of plays. You are killing that. You are killing it.
I thought that play that Yachty at third base, I thought he was safe.
I did too.
You know, and they didn't even want to look at that.
I was surprised by that. Well, again, okay, so all right, so they don't want to look at that. Why don't they want to look at that? Well, because.
Yeah, what makes them not want to look at this, want to look at that?
Well,
now we're getting into.
I'll tell you. It's got to be overwhelmingly, if the call is out, the evidence has to be overwhelmingly against that. And they may have looked at it and said, they're going to look at this, and although they think he might be safe, they can't say conclusively. I think, I'll be honest with you, I watched the replay, and I agreed with the announcer. I thought Yachty was safe. I wasn't so sure Javi wasn't out. Baez. Mm-hmm. I thought he tagged him on the thigh as he was putting his hand on the bag.
Right.
But here's the difference. And again, We've heard managers say this. We've heard teammates say this. Okay. These guys sometimes, when their player is adamant, as they are, they feel like they got to go with their guy and support him. And Yachty kind of got up and just kind of looked in the dugout and walked off. Javier Baez jumped up and was pointing
right.
and shaking his head. So right. there's something to that.
I thought that too. I thought Yachty he played it wrong. It was like a wideout in football that runs back to the huddle instead of saying throw the flag or something.
Well, maybe he didn't play it wrong. Maybe Yachty to a man was like, I'm not sure. It was so close. I'm not sure, Skip. I don't know if you should waste it. I don't know. The third base coach didn't either. The third base coach, to me, when Javier Baez was jumping up and down, almost looked like he wanted to go, no. I think he got, you know, almost like tempered down. The manager kind of come out and was looking at Javi like, I don't want to do this, but look at my guy. I got to go with my guy,
right.
you know?
Right.
So there's something to that, I'm sure. And I do get that. And I understand that. It's almost like I'll go back
to the umps, refs feed off the player's reaction.
Well, not really, because it's somebody sitting in a room. It's actually not those guys, which is unlike hockey. The actual referees on the ice looking at it. I'll go back to hockey and say this, though. It's kind of like this. When somebody's messing with your team and the enforcer goes out there and he doesn't fight, what do we always say? Well, it's a one-goal game. He can't take an instigator penalty. Sometimes that guy's got to go out there and say, screw it. I got to stick up for my guys. It's kind of like that in baseball now with the manager. You know what? I don't know that he's safe or out, but my guy is so passionate, I have to do something. If I don't, my guy's going to look at me and go, what are you doing?
Well, I see it more in the national level like that, but
sure.
In the baseball real world, I mean, you'll hear the assistant coach, screw him, He's out.
Well,
don't get caught up in it.
Well, yeah.
And I see that
tough
too.
Tough thing.
But the national team.
Somebody's got to be in charge, right?
Yeah, but the national team, you're feeding off the players. They're all stars. You're buying into what they're saying. But as a MLB team, if one's freaking out like that, if base is stolen, you know, they'll get it. The assistant guys will say, no, forget about
well,
it. Just don't make any move on it.
Again, we're back to what the rules were intended for, in my opinion, was to overturn obviously blown calls. What is an obviously blown call? A call that you can tell is blown by the naked eye of another opinion. I've said it once, and I'll say it again. If you want to use a challenge, you should have 5 seconds. If it's that bad, you know it.
Five seconds. How do you see that from the dugout?
What do you mean? Okay, that's my point. If it's not visual from either the player that was involved in it or the manager,
right,
or the dugout, then what are we doing? What are we doing?
I'm really going to piss you off.
Well, hang on a second. My point is the umpire is 3 feet away. Okay? If you're in the dugout, which you're probably 100 feet away, 200 feet away at the most,
right?
If it looks bad to you, well, then say something. Why do we have to go to a camera review for something that you can't see any better than them?
Should there be TV monitors put in the dugout?
No.
Because
that's where I'm at on this. There should be no phone call anywhere. There should be nobody in a video room telling the manager they blew it. You should have to decide right there. If it's not obvious to your eye that you're willing to take the chance on it, okay? If it's not, then leave it alone. That's what I say.
I mean,
sorry.
That's not bad either. Throws a human aspect back into it.
That's right. No differently than the umpires. And what do we get rid of? We get rid of fucking reviewing every god darn close play. I say it all the time. For the people in St. Louis, we lived through... You did in Cincinnati. You had a great shortstop for all those years. You had a great shortstop for many years.
Right.
You went 1-1. But I want everybody in St. Louis to think about all the unbelievable plays Ozzie Smith made. They were all bangers at first.
Yeah.
I mean, he made plays that should have never been made. So I assure you, he didn't throw guys out by 10 feet. They were bangers. How many, 40,000 plus on their feet, you don't get to do that no more. Because you don't know if they're safe or out. Imagine going through that.
Yeah, but you lost the World Series on a bad call, too.
That's right. So I'm sitting here telling you I don't want it back over that. I get it. It's part of it. It's inherent. It's part of the game. Human element.
Yeah. Yeah.
And here's the deal. Here's what I'll say. If you used my replay idea.
I like that, buddy.
Well, hang on. Let me tell you something. If you use my replay that idea, guess what? They're going to review that play. Whitey Herzog right away is going to go review that. There's not going to be a phone call somewhere and say, check the screen. That's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. You are still, in my opinion, you are still going to overturn the really bad calls. We see it, bam. He was safe. Okay, we want a challenge. It looked to me like from here he was safe.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. You got a first base coach. Hang on. You have a first base coach right there. Almost as close to it as
the third base coach.
And a third base coach, right?
Yeah. You're right.
There is absolutely no need for the 30 seconds.
I need to call from you.
There is no need for the 30 seconds. There is no need. And you absolutely should not be able to call somebody and say, okay, was he safe or out? And a manager standing up there with his finger out at the umpire. I'm over it. It is old. It is tired. It is bad.
Jose, give me
the
call. Jose, what do we got?
Hey, they didn't have replay in the first, what was it, couple rounds of the WBC?
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have it. I don't understand that rule anyway. So wait a minute. So even when you do get there, you can ask for a replay, but they don't have to give it to you? Well, what is that?
Yeah.
That's classic, by the way.
Yeah.
So anyway, I will not – you know what we should do? We should start a groundswell of change instant replay, and this is what it should be. I think this is what we need to do. This is our platform, ladies and gentlemen. 5 seconds.
Five seconds.
Five seconds.
Then, all right. All right.
I'll give you 10. I mean, you don't have 10. It takes more than 10 seconds to call upstairs and have somebody check a thing.
Right. Right. Well, that's going to be interesting. I'd like to know, I'd like to see how many overturned calls we get this year.
Oh, it's just, yeah. I mean, again, I say this. I do not be Don't be influenced by the number of overturned calls, because here's what I will tell you. That number is skewed, and it is skewed for this reason. That number is only related to the actual number that they ask for a review.
Mm-hmm.
So in a game, if there's one challenge and they had it correct, it's going to be 100%. If they don't have it correct, they're going to be 0-0. They're going to be 0-1, 0%, right?
Right.
But the reality of it is, I assure you, in that game, there were at least 5 or 6 other plays that the manager had somebody looking at, and they got it right. See, that's why that number skewed. I don't
should
like
the
it.
Should the umpires, and I know you've never been in favor of them, but should they be accountable for all these?
Well, no, they should absolutely be accountable.
Okay.
They absolutely should. See, there it is. A buddy of mine, and not to get political, but he's a friend of yours as well. People call for term limits in Congress, right? And what does he always say? We do have term limits. They're called elections. Mm-hmm. If you don't like somebody, get them out. Now, we can all sit here and give you excuses for why that sucks, you know, because we as a public are sheep and we don't, you know, we don't do it right and we don't handle it right, whatever. Ultimately, it always, like he says, okay, that's fine. You can give me all excuses you want. It ultimately falls on us as voters.
Right.
To change term limits, okay? So that's number one. I give you the same thing for baseball when it comes to that, though, okay? Ultimately, if the umpire, and it's not very hard to grade them, okay? We got this little box, okay?
Yeah.
I guarantee you, nobody's going to convince me that they don't get a report how they did after every game.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to tell me that.
You're right, because even in the elections, you have in the back of the ballot, you have the judges to put yes or no back. Why not the same concept with umpires?
I mean, assure you.
If you're messing up constantly and you're relying on the video to bail you out, I mean, there should be some repercussion behind
that. Well, you know, they say that the big thing is, now this is what kills me, you're rewarded with postseason games if you're one of the highest rated umps, right? Okay. What always kills me is we see guys in there sometime and we're like, God, how did he get in there?
Right.
You know,
right,
he's awful.
Yeah.
Well, that tells you how maybe
you
by their standards.
NFL too.
Okay, that's number one. So, but number two, I will tell you this. I'm sorry, folks. Okay. These major league umpires are paid very well to work and do what they do. Now, they can sit here and say, oh, yeah, well, I travel. I don't see my family. Okay, that's fine. But you're also an umpire and you make, I mean, they make $300,000 to $400,000 a year.
Yeah,
I'd like to make $300,000 or $400,000 a year, wouldn't you?
I'd
okay.
Love that.
So my point is, they are rewarded very handsomely for being a Major League Baseball umpire, and whether we think they're any good or not is not, they are the best at what they do. But how good is the best? I don't know. So I will say this: rewarding them that way, in my opinion, is bullshit. Mm-hmm. No, I put it this way: no, I'm all for rewarding the best umpires by giving them the most important games. That's not my point. My point is, there also should be, as you said, it ought to be, hey, listen, I'm going to tell you guys as simple as I sit here today. If you dip below this percentage, you're out.
And do you make that by an overturned call working negative against you as a grade-wise throughout the season? I mean, if there's a if it works in favor of you on the video replay and you called the right call and they stand by it, I think you should get a positive point on that instead of a...
I'm gonna actually almost contradict myself here to some degree. People are going to go, what? I don't think it's the calls on the bases. I really don't. I think it's the strike zone. It's the one thing that has to be consistent. If you look at these calls that they either miss or get right, they're tough. I'm sorry, they are. They're tough. Very rarely do we have one that's really bad, but we have them. We've had them, right?
Especially when you, just to go in that format, I mean, when you have a Kershaw out there, or Verlander, they seem to be, and this goes back to Maddux as well, and Gibson and all those guys. I mean, they get the luxury of the corners. They get the luxury of the low strike zone. I mean.
Well, and MLB's trying to do away with that. They don't want that anymore.
But it's the respect that the umpire gives to that pitcher because who he is.
Human element of the game. And if you were a hitter, wouldn't you turn around and say,
and they
hey,
do.
Bud. Hey, Chief. this is Greg Maddux out here. He's good enough. He doesn't need another 2 inches.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
You're right.
So,
you're right.
You know, I get it.
Maddux sees that where...
Oh, he just exploits it.
It's like a blood in the ocean and the shark's going to go after it.
People would ask me way back in the day, remember when the Braves went on that amazing run, but yet they only won one World Series? People would say, I don't understand. I said, I have a theory. I'll give it to you today. Okay, so think about this. The golden age of baseball, as the game grew, it grew and grew and grew, right? So we get into the age of baseball when you and I were young men, and it exploded nationally as far as television was concerned. We went from having more than one game a week on TV, remember? Yeah. You had ESPN Sunday Night Baseball, and then next thing you know, there was Wednesday night. And then teams. Like, I remember watching Cardinal games and being excited to see how many were going to be broadcast.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't every game like it is now. There were nights when you'd be like, oh, they're not broadcasting a game tonight. Yeah, you can't even think about that now.
No.
Okay? So I want you to think.
You get irate.
Okay, yes. So I want you to think about this. What would happen then? Now, I'll tell you what happened. When Greg Maddux took the mound in the World Series, what was he on? National television. The whole world was watching. If you don't think this umpire isn't sitting here going, I can't give him 2 inches with the whole world watching. Otherwise, I'm going to be a spectacle. I guarantee that.
Controversy.
Well, I watched the games. I watched the games like everybody else. I remember Maddux, you know, a few times not getting calls on the outside corner, and I'm like, how do you give a guy that call all year long and then not give it to him in the World Series?
Well, everyone's watching.
Everyone's watching.
Yeah,
so,
good call.
Just
good
a theory. A conspiracy theory. Maybe I should go on Everett's show.
Yeah,
that was my conspiracy theory. But hey. I don't have any other explanation why one of the best pitching staffs of all time couldn't win more than one World Series.
Well, I mean, you could look at the bats back then.
I was going to say it could be that
Gant.
I was going to say it could be that in the playoffs their best hitter was their 5'5" second baseman Mark Lemke, if you remember, and Jeff Blauser.
Like tree trunks.
But I'm saying they needed Gant. They needed Judd. They needed all these guys, and that was the little guys that hit, and the other guys didn't. If I'm not mistaken.
Did they have, I think they had Dave Justice, too.
Dave Justice. Remember? What a sweet swing Dave Justice had. Oh, I used to play wiffle ball and try to swing the bat like him. Oh,
Dave
my
Justice
God.
Justice was the guy. Hey, man, I think we got to wrap it up, huh?
Yeah, we're coming up on the end of it. Hey, thanks for doing this. I had a blast doing this.
You know what? It's good.
But you're really, I mean, your Cowboys podcast is really something. And I know if we're talking to the masses in the baseball world, we're talking to the masses in the cowboy world. Tell our listeners a little bit about the show and where they can find it.
Well, right now, it's not get much. It's
is it ever
season.
The off season it's, for the Cowboys?
Well,
is it ever?
Yeah, it's a free agency. The guys that we've lost, the guys that are still around, and that big name Tony Romo still there. And I mean, we're talking about that. But right now, there's really not that much. I think when the draft starts up again, we're gonna focus in. We'll have some live shows, and we'll go through the draft with the people too. Have them call in, and it's pretty fun. It's it's my passion. I love the Cowboys. I love the Reds, but Jesus Christ, man, I don't know if they could ever make a run again. I just checked out their rumor report. They're thinking about bringing Bronson back. What the hell? How is Bronson gonna win me games? You're looking at a 10-12 pitcher. 10 wins, 12
lucky.
Losses. Yeah.
If he's lucky.
Yeah.
No, I'm happy for you. I know how important the Cowboys are to you. You and I have always said when we do these things, we basically get to sit down and talk about something we really enjoy, and I know how much you're enjoying
it. No, but I will enjoy during the season if you have me on. I'd love to get on and talk a little baseball with
Absolutely.
You. I always like to throw my input in on what I'm seeing, and I vent off too.
Absolutely. Love having you. Appreciate you stepping in this week. Don't forget, Tony will be back next week, and if not, my man John will step in, as I know he will. Great guy to have around. Don't forget, BleacherBumsPodcast.com is where you'll find this podcast and all the ones in the past. At Bums Podcast, where you'll find us on Twitter. Bleacher Bums Podcast on Facebook. And, of course, special thanks goes out to LineupMedia.fm. They have a tremendous lineup of shows. Give them an opportunity for your listening time. They know that your time is valuable. I assure you, if you're a podcaster, if you liked this show, they have other shows you're going to enjoy. Make sure you check them out, lineupmedia.fm. For Jimbo, for Jono stepping in for Tony today, and for our producer Brian Crock and everybody at lineupmedia.fm, I say see you on the field.
Take care, my friends.
Today's show is presented by DaVinci Smart Drink. Order yours now at lineupmedia.fm/DaVinci. DaVinci, excite better thinking.
Need a mental boost? DaVinci Smart Drinks were designed with professional thinkers in mind. With key ingredients shown to improve cognitive function and increase mental energy, DaVinci Smart Drinks excite better thinking. Drink a DaVinci. Let it go to your head.
This podcast was a presentation of lightupmedia.fm.